God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. Greed's not good and God's not dead. Don't care what Nietzsche or Ayn Rand said. The blood of every man is red, and I'm not going to war. They justify all the things they do with convoluted.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Greetings, Earthlings. Welcome to Dog Poet Broadcasting, who is in the saucer pod. As we speak, hovering over a high-altitude city somewhere to the south of the occupied United States of America, seeking to occupy the rest of the world with the assistance of a number of other countries and under the direction of one particular country, under the direction of individuals influenced by an ancient and enduring evil. These things are now in the process of passing. But as I speak, the clock is ticking. The clock is moving, and the clock is running toward some form of the Ides of March. For it is in that period, at least all the signs indicate, where they will make one of their final efforts to suppress and bring under control the rest of the recalcitrant world that does not wish to go along with the program. I am not Nostradamus, and I am not some other predictor. I don't wear a divinatory watch on my wrist. I've tried my hand at predicting and not been very successful, I will say. But on occasion I have been right, and I suspect that if I am not right about what I'm telling you now, then the cosmos has stepped in, because all the signs are upon the table. So, do not despair, be of good cheer. Keep your hope high in your heart, because the fallout to this sort of thing is selective. It is very selective. There is a phrase in the Bible, and I forget exactly where, that says, two men will be standing in a field. One will be taken and one will be left. And it goes on with various other examples of the same kind of thing. I see it as sort of like that. And let's face it, existence itself is for the purpose of demonstration. That's all it's for. You have the abiding eternal divine who sits behind all phenomena and who projects all phenomena out of himself through the vehicle of his counterpart, which he is, indistinguishable from in the essential way, but very distinguishable from in the distinguishable way. And there you find yourself, don't you? So I guess what I want to talk about is appearances. We are all the victim of appearances, and then following that, the victim of our own perceptions concerning appearances. Now, if our perceptions are correct, then that's okay, because we're seeing things as they accurately are, and they don't, that doesn't lead then to further misperceptions if indeed we're not seeing things as they are. And those are very, very significant considerations for a person to have in their mind, because things aren't always what they look like. Sometimes things are other than what they look like, but unfortunately, if we're judging it from a particular perspective and we get it wrong, that leads to further mistakes and judgment and misapprehensions further along. I can say that I'm pretty familiar with this sort of thing, so be that as it may. Anyway, I want to talk a little bit about perception. There are two ways to be an observer in life. One of them is to perceive things according to a particular mental construct that you have at a certain point. Now, keep in mind this construct continues to change as life goes on, because experience impacts upon us and has an effect on the way we perceive, and therefore an effect on our perceptions. So, that's one way of recording, observing, seeing things, and then, of course, analysis may set in, almost like an ancillary condition to a malady, if you will. The other way is to just look at the condition, period, without any coloration, without any lens, without any idea of exactly what is taking place. In other words, to suspend judgment and to just look at the thing without knowing anything about it. Now, if one's capable of doing this in the right way, a dynamic gets set up where the condition will speak to you. If any of you are familiar with Patanjali's yoga aphorisms, you will know that when he speaks about controlling the mind or restraining the chitti, which is the mind stuff, he refers directly to this sort of thing. And that's what yoga is in place to assist us with, as are some of the tenets and practices of the Western mystery tradition. Now, my suggestion to people during this time is to seek to arrest the condition and concept of personal perspective, and rather to see things without having an impression concerning them, and let them speak to you. Because here is one of the fundamental difficulties that arise in life. It is our perceptions and our judgments on existence that dictate the conditions in which we find ourselves. Now, this is assisted by our appetites and desires. And people's perceptions are controlled, sub rosa, often without their knowing, by their appetites, desires, ambitions, expectations. But as most of us have already found out, expectations do not often realize themselves according to our desires. And this is a difficult one for people. It's why people within the family unit will have problems with one another because of the different stations or positions they occupy, and why children will rebel against their parents, because children are coming from another place after already having been here before or somewhere. And in their innocence and lack of experience, they will possess a certain understanding that those who are attempting to indoctrinate or teach them into the familial understanding, or assist them in getting along in the world, or show them how to protect themselves, or any of these different things, they will notice a disconnect between what they're hearing and what their last experience has taught them from another place, because otherwise they wouldn't have got born again. So they will react instinctively against these controls, because there's a part of them that tells them that these controls that were exercised upon them had a lot to do with, you know, the finality of whatever last existence they had, and bringing them back here again for the purpose of experiencing things. and for the purpose of demonstration. Now, at this point, you have to ask yourself, now, who's controlling this whole affair? Well, that may be something you will never know. I mean, in terms of the actuality of this individual force, power, whatever you want to call it, because the thing is incomprehensible by its nature. No mortal mind, limited by the conditions of being mortal in the first place, can apprehend the dimensions, the consciousness, or the operations of that which is not mortal but is eternal. Here we're talking about differences in perspective again, because this entity, force, whatever you want to call it, that I call God, sees things in a very, very limitless way, and we see them in another way. So the two don't match up. And this brings me back to the thing about conditions seen without coloration and having them speak to you and having a perspective to begin with that adds a colorizing lens to the thing that you're seeing. Okay. I think I'll just leave that there to work itself out in the minds of the people hearing this and say that these times are as topsy-turvy as it gets. I noted prior to my arrival here that many people's relationships were ending, transforming, going through periods of crisis. And it became, I hesitate to say humorous, but almost such, just the sheer amount of individuals that was actually experiencing this sort of thing. Well, the state of the human mind has a great deal to do with the conditions that collectively we find ourselves in. And the human mind also controls the weather. And when I say weather, I mean many different kinds of weather. And you take the aggregate and put it together and you get the state of society at a given time. You have to consider the level of darkness of the time that you live in, because that will determine who is affecting most this particular dynamic. Hopefully, you're with me so far. So, because we are in a time of darkness, we are dealing with a particular consciousness, which is itself the delusionary presentation of the ineffable or the beautiful and pristine behind this darker dimension. And because we're dealing with that, the tendency on all of our parts is to be much more caught up in our own perspective on things and not looking directly at the condition without any judgment, but rather allowing the condition itself to speak to us and inform us. And this can become very handy when you go into nature and you want to talk to the ineffable, because the ineffable can be reached in those places a lot more effectively than in the distress and confusion of the state of civilization at this time. But in any case, it's all about to be summed up. And this is something that I think everyone needs to look very closely at. Where is my level of attachment to results? What is it I'm looking to realize out of what is coming up in front of me? What have I been holding on to, and what have I been going through the process of trying to maintain control over while the world around me is, exhibiting signs of intense transformation and acceleration into events that history shows us has not worked out for large numbers of the public. Now, as usual, when I come here and talk to you, I'm talking around a lot of things, because you can't talk directly at them. Some things you can state directly, but that's still not entirely useful unless the person hearing the thing is able to interpret it in a way that becomes useful to them. And so we are caught with the endless conundrum, of hearing, understanding, following judgment, and the actions that proceed out of any given situation, because something always leads to where you are. And where you are always leads to where you're going to be. But every one of those things is still always right here, right now, and never anywhere else. And that is the place in which you determine how your relationship is going to be to the whole. And there is the important thing. Now, some of you have some connection to this one single important thing, and some of you do not. And those who have the connection to it are going to find it deepening and deepening and deepening in the days and weeks and months following from this point. And some of you are going to be being notified that you don't have any connection or some really distant connection, and the connection is going to be made for you. That can be unfortunate in many cases, because then existence acts upon you and not with you. Anyway, I see we've come to the end of another broadcast, and my hopes and everything else I carry with me is with you, and I hope that all goes well for you, and I believe it will if you use all your energy to contact the divine within. That said, aloha, Hare Krishna, and Hare!
You can go with him. God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. God's not dead, merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.